Our reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We all have things that are important to us. Important enough to turn the house upside down to find. Important enough to leave 99 sheep alone in the wilderness to look for. Wait. That doesn't make much sense. But that is exactly what we heard in these parables of Jesus this morning. Stories about lost things of great value to the one seeking. For the shepherd, a sheep, 1/100th of the flock that was his livelihood. For the woman, a coin, 1/10th of all she had. It makes sense that the shepherd would go and find the lost sheep, but leaving the other 99 to do so, I'm not sure. And when he finds the sheep and brings it back, and then when he gets home next, he calls his friends over to celebrate, that seems a little extreme. The woman, turning on all the lights, sweeping and searching everywhere until she finds the coin, we can understand that. But to call her friends over to celebrate, again, it seems like she might be a little touched. But of course, Jesus is doing what Jesus does best when he teaches like this. He takes situations which are humanly understandable, but in their extremes, he shows us that the character and nature of God is well beyond human. Because this is not about a sheep and a coin. This is about the lost, the tax collector and sinner specifically, who God will turn the world upside down to find. Look at the beginning of today's passage. Look at what prompts these teachings. Jesus is drawing people to him. He is just magnetic. Tax collectors and sinners of all shapes and sizes are gathering around, but so are Pharisees and scribes. No one is immune to the pull of Jesus. But not all who are gathered are interested in listening. Some instead are grumbling. They are complaining. "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them," they say. And this is what prompts these parables. "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." That makes me think that as beautiful as the images are in these parables about a God who seeks the lost, as beautiful as they are, I don't think that's the main point Jesus was trying to make. I do think that these images are precious to those who are lost, including perhaps some of us gathered here today. I think that these were soothing words for the tax collectors and sinners that were there that day when Jesus shared them, and they are soothing words for us today. But I think that the point Jesus really wanted to speak to that day was what is addressed in the words that come after the lost are found. Words about rejoicing and celebration that the community is invited to take part in with the finder. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them, his critics said. And you should do the same, Jesus responds. Jesus is inviting all, sinners and the so-called saints, to celebrate God's work in the world, to live faithful, hopeful, joyful lives. And this is something that is very much worth meditating on as we are in the midst of our stewardship month here at Alabaster. Last week, those of you who were here in this service heard Pastor Reed share stories of faith, hope, and joy that are a very part of the DNA of this church. Stewardship invites those of us listening today to be a part of that story today. And I do mean today. Stewardship for us must be about more than a pledge, a promise, a commitment made for 2020. That is part of it, yes. But stewardship cannot wait until the ball drops on 2019 and we ring in the new year, because right now, the church, our church, is struggling financially. I want to share with you a few numbers, starting with a few numbers that you can see every week in your bulletin. Every week in your bulletin, we present to you two sets of numbers. Numbers representing our attendance from the previous Sunday, and numbers representing budget, giving, and expenses for the previous month and the year to date. Today, we actually have two previous months as well as year to date. Now, for the last several months, if you've been watching these attendance numbers, you've been seeing a very positive trend. We had a down week last week. I actually checked. The whole North Alabama Conference had a down week last week. We had just over 350 in worship. But we have been averaging more like 400 a week. And that is great. It is a good and positive trend. And we're also off to a great start on our Wednesday nights with our fellowship suppers and our small group participation. We are seeing more engagement by way of the presence of our members and visitors. But while our attendance has picked up, giving has not. That second set of numbers will show you that. We are consistently receiving less than our already trimmed down budget requires. And while we continue to operate on less than that budget, our expenses still often exceed the tithes and offerings received on a month-to-month basis. Year-to-date through August, we were running at about a $49,000 loss, expenses over revenue in, offerings and tithes. I encourage you all to look at these numbers as well as the information that is in three different brochures that are out in the entry areas about the financial situation year-to-date, about kind of our story of our financial giving and our budgeting, and also some information about the Restore facility and the debt and the purchase and the ongoing operation of it. And if you have any questions, reach out. Reach out to me or one of the other pastors. We want to be transparent. We want you to understand what's going on. Now, there's some other numbers that I want to share with you that you will not find in your bulletin. Through the end of the month of September, we had just over 400 unique givers to the church. Now, when you think about that compared to our worship numbers, you have to remember, our worship numbers count every head. So while there may be one or two recorded givers per family unit, 400 is not representative of the whole, right? But also remember this, our attendance is counting who is here each Sunday, and people may be not as faithful as each of you are. They may not be here as many weeks out of the month as you. So what we have generally found is that 400 in worship probably represents about double that number in actual people, if that makes sense. That represents more like 800. Here's another thing. Out of those 400 unique givers, just over 140 have given more than $1,000 to the church so far this year. Now just think about that. And also worth noting, there are only 30 givers who are taking advantage of the automatic giving that we have via electronic giving. Just 30. Now, it's in all of these numbers where the issue lies. We have a financial problem here. But Pastor Arthur pointed out last week at 8:30 and 11, this financial problem represents a spiritual opportunity. An opportunity to us as a community to bring the amazing stories of the past with us through this shaky present into the future. And the way that we do this is by considering what small thing each one of us can do in faith, in hope, in joy, not only as we consider our giving for next year, but what we will do today. I shared with you that through the end of August, we were running about a $49,000 deficit. What would correct this? Are we looking for a handful of people to come through and fix that through big second mile giving? No, we are not. Consider this. What would it look like if 200 people in this church gave $20 a month more? Over the course of a year, that would be $48,000. What would it look like if 200 people gave $40 a month more? That's $96,000. That would mean that we could meet our already scaled down budget, and our budget has a lot of hopes and dreams in it, even at that level that we are not able to pursue. Hopes and dreams that we have to bypass if our finances don't improve. What would it mean if 200 people gave $100 a month more? What difference to our ministries and to the facilities in which we do them would $240,000 make? We are not expecting a handful of people to sweep in and make big donations to save the day. We are asking, if you are not currently giving, what would it look like to give $20 a month? If you are currently giving, what would it look like to increase it $20 a month? If you are currently giving a percentage of your income, what would it look like to increase that by a percentage point? And if you are currently giving, but giving by cash or check when you are in worship, what would it look like to give electronically, automatically, every month, that the church could depend on that regular flow of your offering? If you are interested in electronic giving, let me know. There are two options for doing this, including a new church app, which we have launched, which has a lot of great things in it. It's more than just about electronic giving. Now, this is a lot of talk about money, and it makes me uncomfortable because I know that several of you out there, if not all of you, are faithful givers to this church and supporters of this church in ways beyond money. But this is truly a spiritual opportunity. Because I know that this place and what this church has done, is doing, and will do is of great value to all of you. I know that this community matters to you. But it is only by each household in this community investing of themselves that this community can continue. It is not about someone else. It is about each one of us. That's Christian discipleship. Today's scripture is not about seeking the lost, but it's about being the lost. You know, lost sheep are too skittish and scared to even cry out for help. And a lost coin can't do anything, not even shine brighter, to help itself be found. But hear this, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost child of God, even the lost church will be found by God, who is looking and seeking. And today's scripture is not only about being found, but it is about rejoicing in the finding. Worry and anxiety are not what we are called to. Living in a mindset of scarcity and pessimism and defeatism is not what we are called to. We are called to be faithful in the midst of doubt, to be hopeful in the midst of our wandering, to be joyful in the presence of all the good that God is doing all around us, especially when we surrender to Him that He can work His good in and through us. It is time for us as a community to rejoice in being found and in doing the finding. Here, in this place, now, on this day, for we are in this present moment, perched on the precipice of the next thing that God is calling us to do as United Alabaster. Will we be found faithful, hopeful, joyful? Will we seek out the lost, even when we feel a little lost ourselves? And will we rejoice in the finding of all the missing pieces of our community who we are not whole without? This is a celebration God calls us to be a part of. May we accept this invitation with great joy today. May our acceptance be pleasing to God, and may all we do be done for His glory, in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You always seek us. Sometimes we think we're so much in control that it is wholly us. But Your prevenient grace is always coming after us, wooing us back, wanting us in Your arms, and wanting us to rejoice when You find others who are lost. Lord, when we are distracted by financial things, by scarcity, we are not effective in the ministries that You are calling us to do. These are hard conversations. These are hard things to consider. But You are calling each of us to do our part as part of this community. Whether it is through our financial resources or through the giving of our time, it is in these things, Lord, that Your kingdom will be built through us. Be with us, Lord. Give us Your courage and Your spirit. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.